Brother, you live your life in vanity. You traded all your hopes and dreams for insanity.
I'm Father Harry Dean with the Diocese of Austin, currently the chaplain at Cedar Break Retreat Center, formerly in Restorative Justice Ministry with Deacon Ronnie Lastavica, who still contributes to our Restorative Justice Ministry, and also delighted to have Sister Jean Thomas with the Sisters of the Morning Star. And we are in our second session today on building community, the community life. And we have four aspects of building the community life that we're walking through. In our first session, we covered trust and a little bit on love, and we want to center more on love in the community life today. So Deacon Ronnie, I'll ask you to get us started.
When we live in community, we need to grow in love, and we all have the capacity to love as human beings, and we know that this is very important. And that is beyond our past. It's beyond our culture. We spoke about that in our last episode. It's beyond our deepest wounds. But, sister, there seems to be different kinds of love. Can you expand on that and give us some insight, please?
Yes, definitely there is a different kind of love. There is the instinctive love, the sensible love, the love of utility, the spiritual love, and the love of charity with and through the heart of Jesus. So instinctive love is the sexual aspect, and it is completely human. It is part to human being, but it is not first. That's why a religious or a priest are able to offer to God this aspect. And in the same way, that's why a married couple can live of fidelity regarding to this gift of the body between spouses. And there are many reasons, of course, but it is one of them. The sensible love, we all have it, and it is linked to the sensible good. Chocolate is good. As a sister, we love chocolate. And we like it or not. We like this color or not. So sensible love is important, but there is something higher, spiritual love. But between the spiritual love, there is this love of utility. It's when we love the other because we are interested to obtain something interesting for us, or because this person has this quality which could be useful for me. And the spiritual love is really to love the other for what he is and not for what I want to obtain of this love. And finally, we have this love of charity. And for this one, we need the presence of God in our life to live of this sanctifying grace. And it is to love through the heart of Jesus.
With those three, before you get into that next session, let's go back on each one of these just to kind of maybe flesh them out a little bit here, because we can. On the instinctive love, in hearing you outline each of these, sisters, so instinctive love, it's the sexual aspect. It's human. It's part of being human. It's not the first. But in our culture, and in many of the Western cultures in particular, instinctive love seems to be the only love that everybody is familiar with. It's the only thing that they direct their attentions and their energies. And there's a real loss of sensible love, of the love of utility, of spiritual love, and love of charity. It really is, instinctive love has become the gorilla out there. And it has caused a great skew to one side of the human person, I think in many ways because it's exploitable. People can make money off of it. People can exert power through it. People can tend to promote themselves through this particular one, but that loses all these other layers. And so in community life, I guess part of what I'm asking is, how can I begin to help myself put instinctive love in its place? Instead of it being at the top of the food chain, it needs to be somewhere more in the middle. But that's just not how we practice love in our time.
Yes, because today's society push about this instinctive love and sensible love because we are looking for the pleasure. And Love is not a question of pleasure. The true love leads us to happiness, true happiness. It doesn't mean that we need to deny our sexuality or our sensitivity, not at all, because if God created us with a body, it's for something. But is not first, definitely, and I can prove by my religious life that we can be very happy without sex. And if there is temptation, of course, we still be human. But what do I do with this temptation? Do I offer to God right away? So me, I'm religious. Yeah, it can happen that I can be attracted by a man. But what do I do with? But no, I offer to God. I say, I look at Jesus and I say, no, Jesus, I gave you my life and I want to be faithful until the end. And I offer that. And it will be the same for a woman or a man who are married. And so it's a question of choice and a choice of fidelity, of faithfulness. And that is very important. And we need to, in this case, to look at the other for what he is. And the other is not just this sexual attraction. It's much more than that. And yes, we can love a person for a quality, a sensible quality, he's smart, or he has a beautiful face or beautiful gaze and so on. But love is beyond that because we look, we try to love the other for what he is. And so it's just a question of order. Of course, a couple who are married, they will have this gift of the body. But even in the marriage, you can live off chastity. It means you will not go, if you are a man, go to look a movie to the theater with a woman who is not your wife. No, it's a question of prudence and it's a question of order. So it's the same.
Many of the people who are listening to us right now, inside and outside of prison, have heard these things said, but practicing it does not find much support. And quite the opposite. There's a lot of support to look at the other person, whether they're your wife or your husband or not. And I'm looking at the description for love of utility. We love the other because we are interested to obtain something interesting for us, or because this person has this quality which could be useful for me. Human trafficking,
yeah,
is such a horrible yes. reality in our time. And we say that it's horrible, and everybody says, oh my goodness, this is so terrible. Well, if it's so terrible, why are so many people doing it? Why does it exist? And we know it's because they have not allowed themselves to resist this temptation to see people as an object instead. And so the spiritual love, the love of charity, as we go into those, I'm really looking forward to hearing you speak about that to help all of us say, there's another reality. There's a beautiful reality, and it's there for us to take in and to live.
Yes, this other reality is God, is Jesus Christ. And, you know, if in religious life we offer this aspect because we make a vow of chastity, it's possible only because it's God, you know. So here again, it's a choice. And society today want always something easy right away. But a choice implies that we have temptation and sometimes we fall. And to fall, okay, but if you are Catholic, go to confession and you will have the strength to get up. And if you are not Catholic, ask forgiveness in your prayer to Christ. And but a choice implies a fidelity, a faithfulness, and a labor, you know. And chastity is very important. And you can take advantage of this time in prison to try to live a certain of abstinence, because we are so broken in our world today that maybe this time of abstinence will be good for your soul, for your body, for you know, to choose again life. Because when we too much sex and we look only at that or the sensible good, It's where is your finality? What do you want to live in your life? You need to look at God, to look at the friend. Have you children? Children could be a source of surpassment for each one of you.
As they live the incarcerated life, and you are so correct about this, sister, that it can be an opportunity, and Deacon Ronnie can speak to this as well. We've had over the course of our time of serving the incarcerated, many tell us that as bad as prison can be on a day-in and day-out basis, there's goodness to it because it helped them stay away from things that really were dragging them down, whether it's addiction items like narcotics or gambling or sex, but also from people who wanted to exploit them as well. But with abstinence, there's more to it than just I've stopped doing something wrong. There's something that comes along with it that I don't think most people tend to look at it as a deprivation, not as something that's an increase. And I was wondering, Deacon Ronnie, if you and Sister could talk a little bit about that as well.
I think this time of abstinence, because I know that many between you probably suffer about abuse, sexual abuse, and maybe abstinence is a time, a good time to rediscover your body for what it is. And I think it can help to heal. And so in this sense, abstinence, it's something positive. It's, yeah, there is a kind of deprivation, but it's for something greater and higher. And that is very important. What do you think, Deacon Ronnie?
Well, I think it is embracing who you truly are, that God, before your mother knew you, before your father knew you, God knew you, and God knit you in your mother's womb, and he sent you into this world to love and be loved. And it's embracing the fact that you are love. And because you are love, you have a sense of being that sense of loving the other as other. And I think that the distortions that we've been talking about, and certainly in the secular world, it's a distortion of that. You know, that's what sin does. It distorts it, and it takes what was meant to be good, and it turns into something that is very dysfunctional and harmful and bad. And that's all the evil one wants us to do. He wants us to self-implode. He wants to destroy us. And it's a sad thing because we see that so many souls are chasing that one thing they think will make them happy, and it's the absolute opposite. It takes them so far away from being happy and to being really truly in love, and embracing that gift of who you are, and being totally human, and not seen as some objective object for someone else, really does allow you to be free. And we've known many men and women who have experienced to us, expressed to Father Harry and I, that for once in their life, prison has set them free. They are free. They are free to live a life that they sense that God created them to be. And that is a gift. That's a gift. It's in that place that they found their freedom.
And I would like to add, you know, but I can talk only for women because I'm a woman and not a man. But it's sure, and there is distinction definitely between both. It's sure sometimes for a woman, the lack of tenderness could be very challenging and hard. And in this moment is where we have the greater temptation. And here again, it's a question of choice. And yes, it could be hard. And only Jesus can help you, and definitely the Virgin Mary. Our Blessed Mother, it's a mother, you know. So if you if you ask help to the Virgin Mary, she will help you for that. And she will help you to turn toward Jesus.
So many times, sister, we hear the ladies say, in that matter of tenderness, it's a physical tenderness that they're hungering for. And if we're saying abstinence, if we're saying chastity, they know they cannot reach out for that physical tenderness, because if they do, it's not going to be for something that's holy. It's going to move on into something that's not. And so them hearing this is good. because we want to say this is possible and you can. You can say no. You can be a person of chastity and abstinence. But they're going to say in return, but I'm lonely. So what they're really looking for in the language of your material here is true love. So what is true love that satisfies that loneliness?
True love, it's a big question, Father. is really, it is to love the other for what he, the person is. To love is to look at the other and not at ourselves. And yes, it is very demanding because very often, and in religious life, it's the same. We look too much at ourselves and not the other. We are selfish. We look for our own needs and we want to be first served. But love is to look at the other first. And here again, it is a choice. And everybody is able of this choice, not just the religious, everybody. And we fall on the way, of course, and that without doubt. But the most important in this case is to ask forgiveness and to get up right away. And to take, I really invite each one of you to take the hand of the Blessed Virgin Mary in this case. And the Lord is here as well. And when we didn't have a mother, or it was difficult with our mother, or Jesus gave us the Virgin Mary when he was on the cross. He gave us his mother. And his fourth thing, behold your mother. And it was not just for John, it's for each one of us, each Christian. So if you believe in Christ, yeah, Mary is your mother. And he can... the Virgin Mary can help each one of you.
Sister, there are different steps or elements to make sure that we are living a true love. What are some of those?
So, yes, so there is different steps. I will distinguish in a kind of a philosophical analysis, but in our experience, it's of course all in the same time, you know. But when you meet a person for the first time, you can be attracted or not by this person. And I don't talk necessarily about this physical attraction. Maybe it could be just because of the intelligence of this person or the quality of this person. You know, it's the beauty of a face. There are many examples, and that is what I will call the first love, this first attraction toward a person. And we don't know why, but we are attracted by this person in the sense of admiration, but not for the other one. And that is very, very human, but it is not enough. And this first attraction, this first love, is called a call for more. And we need to choose the friend. And yes, I choose the friend. It's not something that, you know, relativism. No, I choose this friend among different persons. And not everybody could be my friend. But it's sure the friendship between two persons implies a reciprocity. And that Aristotle, it's a Greek philosopher, is very clear on the question. It's very difficult to love someone who doesn't love you in return. So it's love, it's friendship is reciprocal. And that is very important. Only Jesus can ask you to love your enemy. And that we are, it's another level. It's a level of charity. And it's important when we have a friendship, there is a common thing between true friends. We share something. So we share something positive. Friendship cannot be for a traffic, you know. It's not love. It's for something positive, a same passion, for instance, a same activity. Or I don't know, if you read the same book, you can talk about this book and it's sharing, you know, to search the truth together. That is very important.
Our ladies and our gentlemen incarcerated have many things in common. They oftentimes find those things in common because they're in the same prison, they're serving the same sentence, they're up for parole at the same time, maybe they're from the same county. Oftentimes we find people that are related biologically, that they're from the same family. So there's a lot of things that they can find in common there. But again, and bring it up a second time, one of the things that they find in common is that it can be very difficult for them to accept some of these basics because they've tried it in the past and they were hurt by it. So they look for new things that will promise love by attraction, reciprocity, having something in common, choosing the friend, but it's really not because Satan's in there and he's dangling this false thing in front of them and wants them to bite on it out of their desperation. So part of my question here in so many words is, how do I tell the difference between something that is really reciprocal love compared to something that's trying to show itself to be that, and it's because it's trying to pull me into something that's not reciprocal love? How do I know when it's true and real compared to somebody who's just really good at making it look like it's true and real, and they've got something else in mind?
Yeah, that is very difficult, and probably I don't have enough experience with the prison to talk more about, but I think to have a true friendship is to share something good. You know, you can, if it's a drug traffic, it cannot be a friendship, definitely. That it's at the level of utility, and it's something that the evil is there, you know. But if it's more at the spiritual level, you know, to search the truth together. So if you follow a same Bible study, I know that sometimes some inmates follow Bible study, that it's a good something good to share. Or other classes or formation that you can have, or books or sport, but not sport to have the cult of the body, but to enjoy and to because it's good for our health to make some sport. It's more at the spiritual level, and for me the discernment, it's friendship, it's to share a secret with my friend, but a secret is based on love, is not based on evil things. So there is false secret.
And what I heard you say, sister, was the importance of your first love, and that love has to be Jesus Christ. But falling in love with Jesus Christ, all other loves in your life will flow.
Definitely. But that it's a choice. It's we are in front of different good. So the chocolate is good. A beer is good, a good beer, you know. And so we are different friends, but who is the first friend? So for sure, for a religious, for a Christian, the first is Jesus. And Jesus gives the order. Jesus is first, is the King of Kings, you know. So does Jesus is first in my life? If yes, my husband, my wife will be second, but a very important part, you know. But yes, Jesus is first. And for religious priests, Jesus definitely is first. And for Deacon Rooney, even if you are married, Jesus is first. But yeah, it's how we choose. It's here again, it's a question of choice. And you are able to choose without a doubt.
And what does my decision do to that first relationship? What is that? What am I thinking of in terms of my choices? Will that do harm to my first love? And that would always be in front of you to be able to discern whether this is good or bad. Because I don't want to bring harm to Jesus in my relationship with him.
Definitely. And sometimes our choices are not correct and bad. But in this case, when we fall, we need to ask him forgiveness. So for the Catholic, you have the grace to have the sacrament of confession. And it's a source of healing. But yes, when Jesus is first in my life, I will do all my choices regarding to Christ and not to my little sensible pleasure or so on. No, I look, what does Jesus want in my life for me now?
Betrayal. I have betrayed someone, and I have betrayed some of the principles of being a good friend. But now I want that forgiveness, and I want to be in my prison setting, in my outside the prison setting, to be known as somebody who can be trusted again. Jesus shows us a very wonderful example of how to deal with betrayal. Peter denies him three times, and he makes him the head of the church. He gives him the opportunity after that denial to say, you have the way of everlasting life. He gives him that opportunity to die for him. For our friends that are incarcerated in particular, who have oftentimes practiced betrayal or have been on the receiving end of betrayal, a little bit about how we overcome that.
The betrayal is very difficult to overcome and is very challenging. And in this case, because when we choose a friend, it's for life. It's not to, you know. So when a friend betrays us, I think we need to remain silent. And that is very important. And silence and in prayer. And yeah, I think when there is a betrayal, the best weapon is silence and prayers. But it's very, very difficult. But if we want to find peace in this betrayal, because it's such a suffering, we need silence and prayer. We need to leave, to let the Holy Spirit, to let Jesus come to heal us. It's, I think, only Jesus can do that.
I go back to what we've touched on earlier. Betrayal is a suffering, and our incarcerated friends have said had many layers of suffering in their lives, some that they bring on themselves. Many have it brought against them. It becomes such a familiar item, but its platform is not for good, but for bad. Again, a little bit on suffering and love from the Lord.
I think when we know a lot of sufferings, it's a permission of God. He didn't want that, but it's a permission of God. And you can grow in that. And I think the remedy against betrayal is really to look at Jesus on the cross. And you need to realize something very important. Is all your sufferings, your bad things, and even if it's from you or from outside or for someone else, your wounds, your bad thing, don't determine you what you are today. And that's why you are able to build and to go further. And for that, you need to look at the cross of Jesus. Look at Jesus on the cross. Look at his healing power through his Holy Spirit. To look at the Father in heaven. All that will help you to go beyond, to go further, and to be healed. But definitely it's challenging. But here again, I come back, it's a choice.
We will follow up on that in our next session as we move on from this section on love into forgiveness and respect and openness to other cultures as building blocks for community life. And as we consider forgiveness in our coming session, we consider the love of Jesus Christ. We consider the choices that we make for good or for evil. And to all of the above, we say glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
If you walk with me, brother, will you walk with me?